This is Hometown Heroes. Honoring everyday Americans who answer the call of duty.
Welcome back to Hometown Heroes, learning about life as a woman Marine in World War II. Our guest, June Moran, was one of about 23,000 American women who held that distinction. We've heard about boot camp, the drill instructors, the kind of duty she pulled at Camp Lejeune, and how the whole point of women in the Marine Corps was to free up men to go overseas and risk their lives.
Another thing that a lot of people have shared with me, and some of the female veterans have shared with me, times that famous people came through, whether they were actually in the military or just there to provide a show for the soldiers. Did you ever have any of those encounters or moments?
We had Jose Iturbe came to play, and poor guy, he was so ragged looking because he had played for several bases around, but he had promised to come, and he did. He came. We did have a nice theater. And, of course, it was jam-packed, and that was really a nice treat. We didn't have too many USO shows, but he was one guest that did come, and he, I understand, was very good about doing that.
Yeah, you know, it sure sounds that way. I did a little research. The famed Basque pianist and conductor, Jose Iturbe, went out of his way in 1945 to include Camp Lejeune in a tour of the South, and what June and the other Marines, male and female, heard that night might have sounded a little bit like this. That is Jose Iturbe leading an 18-person ensemble in the classic 1945 movie Anchors Away, which, by the way, won an Academy Award for Best Musical Score. If you've never seen the film, the title alone might tell you it revolves around a couple of Navy sailors in World War II. History shows that Mr. Iturbe himself was very committed to the war effort. That wasn't exactly unique among the show business stars of the day. It just does paint a little bit of a contrast with today's Hollywood climate. Iturbe was born in Spain, but after the Japanese attack on Pearl Harbor, he volunteered to serve his adopted country. He was an experienced pilot, and he tried to join the U.S. Army Air Corps, but he was 46 years old, and they told him he was too old for the Air Corps. So instead, he joined the Civil Air Patrol, was commissioned as a major there, and spent his time ferrying planes where they needed to go and searching for U-boats up and down the coast. Of course, he also entertained the troops, including June Moran and her fellow Marines at Camp Lejeune in 1945. And now that I think of it, Camp Lejeune was quite an apropos duty station for a girl named June.
And were you there until the end of the war?
Yes, I was there the whole time.
What was that like when you got the news that this war was over?
Couldn't believe it. I mean, the people just went crazy, especially the guys. And they were so eager to get home. Who wasn't? I mean, after all, they had been through. And it took forever to discharge that many. And so the women were left last until they could, you know, discharge all the fellows and get them home. And then they started on the women. So, but it was quite an experience, and I'm glad that I did it. I think I learned a lot from it and helped me a lot in my life.
And you say that. I was going to ask you about that. What do you see as things that you picked up from your time in the Marine Corps that really made a difference in the way you live the rest of your life?
I guess discipline is one. Being mindful of litter on the street is another.
Do you have a stick with a nail in it at home?
No, I have a broom.
As long as you're not flying on it, we're all good.
Haven't tried that.
We know you have a sense of humor. You know, the Marine Corps has a saying, and it's part of the recruitment strategy for the Marine Corps. They say, the few, the proud, the Marines. I guess it's the fewer, the prouder, the female Marines of World War II, because that's a much smaller number. What are you most proud of with your service in World War II?
I think that I made it, that I completed it. But you learned a lot from the other gals as well. We did have one gal that finally said enough. She didn't like it at all. So she took off and she went back home, which was in Georgia. And the MPs went and got her, brought her back, and gave her a dishonorable discharge, which they made all of us watch. And that was not very pleasant, because they start with ripping off your chevrons first and then your buttons. And they just degrade you, really. But it was mandatory that we see it, because that's the only one that ever happened in our barracks. But she just had enough of it, and she wanted to go home to Mama. Mm-hmm. And so she went. But she was brought. She didn't believe they would come and get her, I'm sure. But they did. So that was a real lesson, that they wanted us to know that.
Yeah, just in case you had any ideas. Do you still have your uniform?
No, I don't. I did for a long time. I finally thought, what am I keeping this for? Out. It's gone. I have my ribbons, uh-huh, and one of my insignias and pictures.
And you have your memories. And have you ever gotten any funny reactions when you tell people, yeah, I was a Marine in World War II?
They don't believe it, really. Huh? Well, they really weren't aware so much of women Marines as they were the WACs or the WAVES, because they had bigger numbers. And they also went overseas, and there were a lot of nurses in the WACs, of course. And I think they were more known than we were.
What do you think people today should remember about World War II and what millions and millions of Americans, not just men, did back then?
I don't know. You would think that would have been, as they say, the war to end all wars, but we know that it's not true. But it's astounding how many people were killed in that war. It's just unbelievable to me now, that when you hear of the numbers, and I have been over to Normandy to see the beaches and the bunkers that are still there. And when that beach over there is tremendous. I mean, it's huge. And to think of all those men on that beach and all that were slaughtered, you might say, because they were. Especially if you saw the movie D-Day. That's the way it was. But it was just tremendous. Just, and I hope never again.
Amen. There are a lot of women in the military today. They're all in there voluntarily, just like you were. And they're doing more and more jobs now, and people feel a lot of different ways about that. Do you feel that the opportunities that women have today are there because of what you and some of your fellow ladies in that generation did?
Well, I'm sure we may have paved the way for that to happen. I still think it's wrong to have co-ed as they do now. I think you're really asking for trouble, and as we know, there's been a lot of trouble. But I really think that was not a wise decision to do. But I suppose Women's Lib has gone a little further than we needed to go.
Would you like to go see the World War II Memorial? Would that be meaningful to you?
I have seen it.
You've been there in Washington? What did that mean to you to see?
It was a wonderful, I think it's an absolutely gorgeous thing. And I think they did a wonderful job in the way it's structured. All the states are there. It's a grand thing to see. There's no doubt about that. I was very impressed with it. Very, yes.
And for the ladies who don't know you well in here, how'd you end up in Kingsburg?
Oh, boy. Well, my daughter sitting over there called me and said, Mom, we don't want you down there by yourself. This was after they had all gone, left home. We need you up here. And I said, are you sure? Yes. I said, well, I don't know if I can stand that hot weather, since we lived really close to the beach, and we lived in Westchester in LA area, very close to the beach, very close to Santa Monica and so forth. So we had nice sea breezes, and we didn't have to have air conditioning, thank you. And it was never hot. And when I came up to visit here a couple of times, I thought, oh, mercy, I don't think I can do this. And so when she said, oh, no, we need to have you up here, I said, well, I have to have some water to jump into if I'm up here. So I have a house with a pool. Thank you very much.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think they have a Swedish festival down there.
No, they don't. But then I'm not Swedish, so, you know, I'm a stranger.
She's been adopted here in Kingsburg. Is there anything related to your service in the war that I haven't asked you about that you think is important for us to understand?
I know you did really well, I think.
There is something else I want to know. When I asked you earlier if she looked 90, you all said, no way. What's your secret? What's your secret to staying so young and vibrant at age 90?
Probably part of it's due to the Marine Corps of exercising every day. I don't know, except I probably inherited some good genes, and I've been trying to take care of them.
And, you know, all the Marines that I've met over the years, they remind me, once a Marine, always a Marine. Is that how you feel? Does Semper Fidelis mean something to you?
Yeah, it does. Proud to be a Marine, and you always feel that way. I'm sure you do. At least I do. Yeah, and very happy and thankful that I got to serve and hopefully help the country by doing it. But I do feel I learned a lot, yes.
Well, I think we just learned a lot. So thank you for serving our country, and thank you for telling us about it.
Not at all. Thank you very much. Enjoyed. Thank you.
It was a different twist with our live studio audience. We weren't really in a recording studio. We were in the Fellowship Hall of the Kingsburg Community Church at the monthly meeting of the Kingsburg Tuesday Club. Thanks to Barbara Troisi for inviting me. Normally, I like to sit down one-on-one with the veterans we hear from on Hometown Heroes. I'd hate for anyone to hold anything back because of a crowd, but I don't think June held back one bit. I've been in 6 different airports in about 5 different states in the last week, and for about 18 hours, I was in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, a city that really does honor its veterans. And those 18 hours were long enough for me to catch up and spend a couple hours with an ex-prisoner of war who has a really remarkable story. He's written his story down in a book called 11-2, if you want to check it out. Frank Kravitz is his name, the book 11-2, and we'll hear it directly from him next time on Hometown Heroes. Thanks for spending what I would call a pretty entertaining hour with us today. I'm Paul Leffler, reminding you again that freedom is not free.